This is The Takeaway. I'm Shamita Basu, in for Tanzina Vega, who's out on maternity leave. With Memorial Day weekend behind us and the warmer weather kicking into high gear, this would normally be the perfect time to start heading to the beach. And while public beaches are beginning to open in many coastal states, officials are putting a number of restrictions on these spaces due to the pandemic. In many areas, parking lots and public restrooms are closed, group sizes are limited, and stationary activities are discouraged. And while images of crowds swarming beaches have been singled out as evidence of the danger of keeping them open during a public health crisis, beaches are considered a fundamental part of so many communities. Take New York's Fire Island, which for decades has been a summer gathering place for LGBTQ people. Most businesses there are closed or only offering limited service, but local leaders are keeping the beaches open and encouraging visitors to enjoy them responsibly. But what exactly does responsible beach behavior look like during a pandemic?
What we're trying to encourage is that we continue to have a stance for observing physical distancing, masking as much as possible, hand hygiene as much as possible. Those are things that are difficult in the normal scene at a beach. So I think it's going to be abnormal times when people do go to the beach and try to do it in a socially responsible way.
That's Dr. Wilbur Chen, an adult infectious disease specialist at the University of Maryland School of Medicine. He's also a member of Maryland Governor Larry Hogan's COVID-19 Response Task Force. I spoke with him to get a sense of how to safely enjoy beaches and other public outdoor spaces this summer.
We've been cooped up with our own families for a period of weeks and months now. So it's perfectly reasonable to go to the beach with your family, throw the frisbee around, kick the ball around, play in the water. But then to introduce additional families, again, less is better. There may be different executive orders or policies and procedures that are in place. So from beach to beach, there may be a limitation in the group size. And over time, those might open up. So it might be 10 at first, or it might be 5 at first. Whatever it is, I certainly want the listener to adhere to those local guidelines and policies. But then again, just to be in the background, planning to be responsible, even if there is an allowance of 20 people. 20 people may not be the best, to try to always achieve the max numbers. Mm-hmm. So, I think that's what I want people to keep in mind is try to balance out those activities with what you think really is necessary.
Are there different health concerns when you think about going to a public pool versus a public beach?
In instances, yes, there are, of course, at the community pool. It's another scene. It's a community meeting place. And so a lot of us bring our young children and they play together. And of course, we all have to use the shared facilities. Mm-hmm. So that's the shower, the toilet, the sinks, the snack bar. All of those are surfaces that we're all contacting. And that's very similar to the beach, actually. That's not really very different.
Right.
The pool, of course, the pool water is chlorinated. So I don't think that the pool water itself represents a risk. And so, again, we just have to be mindful that when we go to the pool, it's probably just a different attitude when we go to the pool, just as we have a different attitude to go to the beach. I'll also mention that there are lifeguards both at the pool and the beach. And the poor lifeguard, their job is to take on the risk of doing mouth-to-mouth and CPR for a person in distress. And so again, when you have more people that, again, are introducing that risk to that location, I don't know if those lifeguards are being compensated enough to take on this additional risk of knowing that they could get COVID. So I just want people to, again, let's think about this social responsibility. Am I doing this to my community? For my own benefit, am I doing it in a kind of public space where I'm being responsible personally and demonstrating that behavior? So let's just think about all of these attitudes and try to balance this out. I don't want people to not enjoy their summers. I want people to fully enjoy it. But let's just kind of keep some of these things in check and balance it out against some of these other risks that we know are out there.
Now, I mentioned earlier that you are on the COVID-19 Response Task Force in Maryland. And as I'm looking at responses in other states and how they're dealing with their beaches, it does seem like there is a bit of a patchwork. How much does that start to complicate the work of public health officials?
Yeah, it does make it more complicated. And again, honestly, there are some places in a particular state that might have a different burden of disease, which means that some parts of where I'm at in Maryland can open up earlier than other parts. We have a lot of burden of disease in the central corridor of Maryland, and so mm-hmm. we're not ready to open up there. But in western Maryland, where it's mountainous, and then on the eastern shore, where we have the ocean, you know, they have low rates, so they can open up faster than we can here in the central corridor. So some of the worry and concern is that we'll have transmission just by introduction of people coming from outerlying either states or counties into the, you know, other counties that have low incidence. So, for example, you know, some people might have their summer cottages in the mountains or at the beach. And again, I'm hearing from some of the local governments and officials, you know, we don't want people to come in and bring these infections, because we don't have a lot of hospitals here. We don't have a lot of beds. We don't have ICUs. And so to bring that in, you know, brings it another concern for the ability to deliver adequate medical care to their local community. And it makes it harder for them, honestly. So, you know, the governor has to kind of negotiate all of this, and it's his authority to govern from the state level. But, you know, local governments have the authority to govern over their jurisdictions as well. So, you know, we don't want to pit government against government, local against state, or otherwise. We want to be thoughtful and work together.
Dr. Wilbur Chen is an adult infectious disease specialist at the University of Maryland School of Medicine. Thank you very much, Dr. Chen.
It was my pleasure.
We're going to stay at the beach just a little longer today and look at Florida and California, where beach culture is seen as an essential part of life, and efforts to limit access to beaches have been criticized by many residents and county officials. My next two guests have been closely following how beach openings are going in their respective states. Patricia Mazay is the Miami Bureau Chief for the New York Times. Thank you for being here, Patricia.
My pleasure.
And Rosanna Shaw is an environment reporter covering the California coast for the Los Angeles Times. Hi to you, Rosanna.
Hi, happy to be on.
So, Rosanna, what did beaches in California look like over Memorial Day weekend? What's closed? What's not?
Yeah, for the most part, folks have been good. And, you know, things got pretty intense for a while. But as of last weekend, every county along the California coast had at least partial reopenings. Some of the parking lots in Los Angeles County were still closed. But, mm-hmm. you know, there were some dramatic photos from places like Venice Beach and the boardwalk. But for the most part, you know, I was talking to local officials yesterday, and they said that the crowds were mostly under control and people really get it that you got to practice safe distancing while you're out on the beach. No umbrellas, no coolers, no mm-hmm. flopping on the sand with a bunch of friends. And, you know, the only thing I think police said, at least in LA County, was that they wished they saw more people wearing face masks when not in the water. But it was pretty good.
You said that things got pretty intense there for a while. What are you referring to?
Oh, I mean, yeah, beach access. I mean, it's been lost track of time, like 2 months of beach closures. But, you know, access in general is a very emotional issue in California. You know, for listeners who aren't in California, we have this pretty unique law that guarantees that all beaches are public. Access to the coast is a right. And I spend so much of my time usually writing about how this law, the Coastal Act, gets enforced, what government agencies are doing to make sure that everyone has equal access to the coast. You know, and now with COVID for the last couple of weeks, months, it's been like, okay, we're closing all beaches. People were getting ticketed for surfing rather than putting up a fence to make your own private beach. And that really just has upended everyone's relationship to the coast. So I think it was just a very emotional issue in California, especially, mm-hmm. you know, at this time when everyone is starting to go to the coast more often. It's getting hotter inland. And yeah, this past weekend was just a really nice respite for a lot of folks.
And Patricia, you're in Florida. I understand that Miami saw a lot of rainfall over this Memorial Day weekend. What did the beaches look like in Florida?
Well, Miami and Fort Lauderdale are still the places where the beaches are closed. Mm-hmm. They're going to open on June 1st. So I think at least there was so much rain and the beaches were closed that right here at the state's southern end, it was sort of like, okay, well, the weather didn't cooperate anyway. But in the rest of the state, the beaches were opened with various levels of restrictions, in some cases, no restrictions. And the most crowded areas were, you know, the most populous areas. So in Tampa, they had to start closing parking lots after the authorities deemed them to be too full. In Daytona, they had big crowds, especially coming in from the Orlando area, and they said they saw maybe 10,000 people at the beach there on Saturday, which was regular Memorial Day numbers, not lower than usual, according to the police. And they said people were social distancing to an extent, but they acknowledged that they wish there had been more spacing between people. But the police also said, you know, we're not the social distancing police. Mm-hmm. We are not here to make sure people stay 6 feet away from each other. That's sort of a matter of personal responsibility. And they had had issues there earlier on during the reopening when they had limited beach access to exercise. So people could not lay down on a towel or bring their umbrella. And the beach safety patrol, which normally would be sort of welcoming people to the beach and sort of trying to keep them safe, had become this sort of social distancing entity where they would have to go to a group and say, you guys are lingering when you need to be exercising. And then as soon as the, you know, patrol moved on, the group would go back to lying down and not exercising. So they sort of gave up on that approach because they realized that it was just not enforceable. And that's really the reason why places like Miami and Fort Lauderdale have taken this long to open, because they have so much coastline and so many people that they said, we just can't enforce many rules. We are expecting rules to come down soon ahead of the June 1st opening, and masks might be part of those in Miami, but we'll see how enforceable that is, especially hearing from Rosanna's experience in California.
And Patricia, just briefly, in about 30 seconds, you know, Rosanna was saying how emotional this is for Californians. Is it similarly emotional for people in Florida?
Oh, absolutely. People who live here tend to have a beach that they consider their beach because it is where they go with their family on any break that they have. And sometimes you sort of just become, you forget that you're near the beach and you don't go that often. But for a lot of people, that is the one free respite that they have outdoors.
Rosanna, what has California Governor Gavin Newsom's position been on beaches? And how much has he clashed with localities?
Yeah, there was this one clash a couple weeks ago with one specific county, Orange County, and it was following a weekend. I think it was the first super warm weekend in Southern California in April, that, or it might have been May. But, you know, after seeing the photos, Governor Newsom said, okay, all beaches in Orange County has to be closed until every city submits a plan to my office outlining how exactly you plan on managing crowds. And, you know, that was, there was some pushback on that. A couple, I think at least one city sued on their rights over that. But, you know, within a week, every city had submitted plans and had been approved for partial reopenings. You know, and when I say partial reopenings, it means, you know, limited parking lots were opened, some hours, you know, in Laguna for a while, you can only go to the beach from like 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. And then during the middle of the day, you couldn't go, active recreation only. So no one could sit down, sunbathe. It was mostly for running and for surfing and for individual kind of active beach activities. But, you know, for the most part, I mean, the California coast is 1,200 miles long. That's from like Boston to Georgia. And there are a lot of different beach communities up and down the coast. Some rural, some super urban, like Orange County and Los Angeles County. So the rules have been different depending on what's needed to prevent overcrowding. And for the most part, the governor's office and the Coastal Commission, which is the statewide agency that's usually in charge of regulating the coastline, have deferred to local officials on how to manage beaches. And I think the one big clash was the one between Governor Newsom and Orange County. And that was just because the localities were not really, they were looser, I guess, about crowd management. And so that's when the governor kind of put his foot down.
And Patricia, what about in Florida? How would you characterize Governor Ron DeSantis's approach to beach openings and working with localities?
His approach has been to let this be decided at the county and city level. There was never an order to close down all of the Florida beaches or any of them. When they closed, it was on a county by county basis. And usually if a county didn't want to close, it was forced to eventually when its neighboring counties did, and they found an influx of people in the county that was still open. There were some internal debates within local governments. We saw, for example, in some emails that we obtained in St. John's County, which is where St. Augustine is, just south of Jacksonville, where the medical examiner had been urging the county administrator to please close down the beaches because the county had an unusually high coronavirus infection rate. And she was, turned away. Like the county administrator explained his reasons and said that we're not doing it. But then they eventually did because Jacksonville closed down its beaches and people were just going into St. Augustine. In Naples on the Gulf Coast, they had to briefly close the beaches after reopening them earlier this month because of the crowds. But they, opened them up again. And in South Florida, which has seen the bulk of the brunt of the cases in the pandemic, it was never really in question that the counties were going to stay closed a little bit longer. And even Broward County, which is where Fort Lauderdale is, wanted to open sooner. But knowing that people from Miami might drive up to Fort Lauderdale, they decided to wait until when Miami made up its mind. And then finally, the Florida Keys have been avoiding having that influx from outsiders by having a roadblock where only residents can be in the Keys. And that's going to be lifted in June.
Yeah, and who stands to lose access if public facilities on beaches are closed or limited? Is it mostly residents, or how much is Florida thinking about tourism for this summer?
No, tourism is a big concern, especially in communities that rely on people coming down and like renting a house on the beach. Vacation rentals have been a real issue. They were prohibited during, weeks and weeks during the pandemic. And finally, the governor said, if you want to allow rentals in your county again, you have to send me a plan on how you're going to safely do that. And for example, in the panhandle along the Gulf Coast, where vacation rentals are key to the local tourism economy, they were quick to submit a joint plan. And part of the plan, for example, was that they would not rent to people who were coming from places that had a high incidence of the virus. So for example, if you were coming from New York City, you were not going to be able to rent a house in Pensacola Beach.
And Rosanna, what about in California? If beach parking lots and even the public facilities of public bathrooms stay closed in California this summer, who will it impact the most?
Yeah, that is a great question. Beach closures here have raised interesting equity issues. And, most of the local jurisdictions that have been managing crowds, they've been managing crowds by limiting which parking lots are open and keeping the bathrooms closed and all of the public facilities. And by doing that, what you're essentially doing is creating a situation where those who are fortunate enough to live walking or biking distance to the beach can still go and kind of plan for even like a 20-minute jog along the beach and then go back to your own home for the bathroom or not park. But, those who live further inland, who are trapped in heat zones or by freeways or don't even live in nice enough neighborhoods to walk around, the ones who literally plan an entire Saturday, with the whole family and they pack the van or they take the bus all the way out there. And they're the ones that end up not getting any access to the beach during this time. And, this is an issue that we talk about a lot in California. Whenever we talk about an access issue with a specific beach, a lot of the time it's nitpicking how many parking spots are available for that specific beach, because parking is such a part of the access component when we talk about allowing folks who don't live by the coast to access the coast. So that's been a really challenging issue that I've seen a lot up and down the coast.
Patricia Mazet is the Miami Bureau Chief for the New York Times, and Rosanna Shaw is an environment reporter covering the California coast for the Los Angeles Times. Thank you so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.